Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
They're going to give basketball $5.5 million, and then they'll give everybody else whatever's left. They have $20.5 million of a pie, though. And Memphis, we know, will not have that. They may have 11. They may have 11.5, but they ain't going to have 20. And they're still saying they're going to commit the same amount. So pound for pound, it's an even bigger commitment to basketball than Kansas is making, which is great news. I mean, that's great news that you have that commitment from Ed Scott. We have wondered about that. We have talked about that. You know, don't lose Memphis basketball. In the pursuit of football, in the pursuit of, and I think clearly Memphis is showing that their distribution percentages are going to be different than the industry standard of 75, 15, you know, whatever's left after that for everybody else. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a little higher here, which it needs to be. There's no doubt about that. And I actually talked to Jeff Borzello and Jeff Goodman, and Jeff Borzello's first reaction when he heard what Memphis was committing in terms of that number was, yo, whoa, didn't know they'd be committing that much. Now what they don't know is that they're dissolving the collective, and that's really going to become the same thing. It's going to be the same pot of money, but alas, they were impressed. Both Jeff Borzello and Jeff Goodman were impressed by Memphis's commitment here. You know, Jeff Borzello said that number will be competitive. And also what's interesting too, Jason, is that both of those guys believe the numbers will come down. Both of, you know, you had Kentucky $20 million this year. Mm-hmm. North Carolina $15, $16 million roster this year. Both of those guys who, you know, are talking to the coaches, talking to the administrators, they expect because of the house settlement that those rosters will come down significantly in terms of cost. I don't know why necessarily, because in theory, you know, you could still do NIL deals that hit that. But maybe there's a thought that Deloitte will be a little more stingy with passing through, you know, oh, I can't, you know, this company can't just give $1.5 million to do NIL. That's not market value. I don't know. We'll find out. But, you know, basically Jeff Goodman estimated that Memphis's budget and allotment of $4.5 to $5.5 million is in the 20 to 40 range in America. You know, again, that's not including any NIL that would be separate of that. And I think that's what Ed Scott was kind of talking about or hinting at, that, you know, there needs to be more. And there does need to be more, because 4.5 is what Memphis had, you know, this year, last year. So it's not really a change in that regard. It's the same amount of money. Mm-hmm. But there is always that opportunity for more NIL. You know, go out, get a business to get involved. FedEx, you know, could they up their commitment? Always, right? I mean, that's always a possibility. I don't know how much more they could do, you know, but it's just a possibility. So that's kind of where it is. And I wrote about this, but there was a little bit of a, you know, an intrigue about, man, hey, maybe Memphis has more money for basketball than we anticipated, you know, 4 months ago. You know, I don't know that that's the case, but that's at least their reaction.
So it's the same amount of money. It's just what others will have and sort of how it stands, how yours stands against theirs over the next few years with, we think, money coming down. And maybe other schools dissolving their collectives too.
I think that's going to be a nationwide thing. Yeah.
I mean, they talked to, you know, I saw where one store, I think it was a CA, I think it was Munns, that talked to guys that you know well over there. What was it, Bluff City Collective, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And all of them seem to think that this is the right way to go. Like, they've mm-hmm. been, you know, they've been sort of standing in the gap.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And especially Collective, which is focused, you correct me if I'm wrong, on basketball.
Bluff City Collective definitely is.
They seem fine with, because of how this thing's going to be governed going forward, you know, what, you know, drying this thing up right now, what it felt was best for Memphis basketball and it coming through the school.
Yep.
They seem to agree with Ed Scott that this is the way to go. And I just wonder if other collectives and ways about it, again, the way this is going to be governed win the way, you know, what do you, Deloitte, you know, yeah. whatever, looking over these deals, if they're going to want them at that point, you want your hands off. Just let it go through the school if it's just better business that way. And here you've got folks that, again, have Memphis basketball in at, you know, its best interest at, as their priority, are saying, you know what, this is the way to go. I just wonder if, again, going forward, this will be it. Most programs, even in the power structure, will say, yep. we want to filter it through the rev sharing,
right.
as opposed to having that extra money, which is these NIL deals we're doing on the sides through our collectives. Hopefully, there's a dissolving them across the board, right?
I mean, yeah.
And it leaves you on a, it's not going to be an even playing field,
right.
but one that's more level for you. Because when you tell me 20 to 40, that's what Goodman told you this would put you in.
Yep.
All right, well, that still gives me room to be a top 25 program.
Absolutely.
I'd be top 20 in what I'm saying. If I'm on the upper end of that.
No doubt.
If I'm on the higher end of the 20.
Goodman actually thinks Memphis could be a top 10 budget. Like, he thinks there's room for that. Now, I mean, again, I don't know. I think he's kind of putting that on
FedEx. How can you do that if you're going to dissolve the collectives? You're saying FedEx pour into the rev sharing part of this
and
send up the money closer to $20.5 million is the way you're going to have to do that.
There were things he said that I didn't include in the piece because I just kind of felt like the timing was not appropriate necessarily. But basically, he said FedEx holds the keys. That was his view of it. That was his opinion.
I get it, but they've just pumped $50 million into the facilities conundrum.
Exactly.
And they're giving Memphis right now 25 over 5.
That's $75 million commitment. That's unbelievable.
How many, and as you've written, how many more times can Memphis keep doing this to the group that it's got? And FedEx is obviously at the top of that.
No doubt.
But my point, they're already $75 million in right now. I'm just saying, at least for now, no, I would think. Right, they got 4 more years on the $25 million. So $20 million left of that $25 million still to pay.
Yeah.
It's banking on a lot more. You're right. They always hold the keys. FedEx can always zoom in.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
But you did lose. You know, let's be real. I mean, you still got family members, but you lost
the guy.
The guy.
Yeah.
Too over the weekend.
And again, that's why I didn't want to like put all this, you know, like it's like he, like Fred Smith just passed, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and you're $75 million stretched across them right now.
Yeah.
In terms of their commitment to you.
Now, you know, $75 million. But it's like,
I get that, but constantly
$75 million is still $75 million.
And there's still $20 million to give you
right.
off the rest of the 4 years left of the NIL deal.
Yes.
That will now, as you say, go into this revenue sharing pot.
Correct.
Majority of it going to football, but
yes.
we still like the percentage
yes.
of that going to basketball.
Correct, exactly. Because that's what we wondered about. It's like, you know, what will Ed Scott do with, because there's going to be a lot of pressure. Like, you get pulled in a lot of, because like football's like, hey, we want 75%.
Correct.
You know, we want what everybody else is getting. Because a lot of, like Florida State, for example, who Memphis beat last year, they are going to obviously focus almost exclusively on, like, they hired Luke Locks, bro. Like, you know, they don't care about basketball at all down there. They're like, we can't compete with Duke and Carolina. We're not going to spend nearly. Why would we even do that? Why would we give basketball basically anything when we can't be that? And we know we can actually be something in football. You know, theoretically. I mean, that's their. I don't know if that's the right way to look at it, but that's how they like a lot of schools like that. You know, what's Clemson going to do? What's, you know, all these different places that have, you know, respectable basketball programs, but certainly not championship contender basketball programs. So, you know, I think it's a little inverted here, and it needs to be because, you know, basketball has the tradition that it has.
You're given a higher percentage of your rev share to basketball, which is good.
Yes.
You're still giving more of the money.
Yes.
To football.
Correct.
What's left?
I mean,
since Memphis will do it a little bit differently.
No, you're right.
In terms of the percentage they're paying men's basketball because of the history here, and we understand it.
I mean, they must have.
I mean,
they
must have. What is left for the Olympic sports and everybody? I mean, they're going to.
They must have $12 million, right? I mean, they must have $12, $13 million of rev share because, I mean, you could just sort of do back of envelope math here. You got to give.
See where I'm at. Yeah.
100%. Let's just split it down the middle. And let's say Memphis is getting $5 million for basketball. The 4.5 to 5.5, we'll split the middle, say they're getting 5. All right, well, he said he's got more
for football.
Right.
Yes.
That ain't going to be $200,000.
No, it gets you at least 6.
So
at least 6 million, I would think.
Yeah, I would say 6.5.
Yeah.
But I don't know that, but I would say.
Going
you know, six and a half.
Top of the head math here.
So 11 million to 11.5 million.
Yeah, I saw you put up to, you know, didn't you put 12 in there?
Yeah.
In your story?
10 to 11. But I mean, that's conservative. Right. I mean, obviously they have 10. We know they have 10 because they said they at least have half.
Right.
And it's 20.5 cap. So clearly they must have $12 to $13 million, it feels like, because you have to give the other sports something.
I mean, and it might be the reason why you don't say the number.
Right.
Because you've got other sports you got to take care of.
That's right.
And if you've constantly got your numbers out there about basketball and football, you're going to have your Olympic sports folks saying,
that's right,
how can we exist at some point, right? They're knocking on your door.
Women's soccer is like,
saying,
wait a minute.
Dr. Scott, like, we're
imagine, you know, if you gave us something.
And it's probably one of the reasons
now they're getting
why,
the arena, but.
You know, they are. But in addition to, they're obviously formulating where they're going to land in this as we shift toward into revenue share. And maybe, you know, these early. You don't necessarily know what that number is going to be, but I would imagine too you don't want that number out there publicly because you've got your other programs that are saying, okay, if this is going to them and this is going to them, what we got left? So you really, and especially going into this, you have to be really careful.
Yes,
that's probably why a man who's been pretty transparent about all the math up until this point
that's
has
right.
been, you know, we it's been a little cloudy on what the number is, and he's kind of said that I don't have a number yet.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
Might be one of the reasons why.
And so, yeah, we'll see. You know, we'll probably never know. I mean, unless there's like a FOIA, and I don't even know how much of that would be public and how much would not. I'd have no idea. There was that, I think it was Jonah Dillon had Memphis made the most money of any group of five. You know,
It was very instructive because I don't know that the Pac-12 can come anywhere close to that $11 million for Memphis.
Now that did include distributions, right?
It did, but also did you see Pernay said that number's going up with the distributions Memphis still got coming.
No, it was telling.
That number's going up from $11 million and coming. So and
no
he wanted that out there, obviously.
Absolutely.
You know, Pac-12 ball in your court.
Yes.
You're saying you got this CBS deal. Well,
no.
How much is it paying?
Well, it's obviously probably not paying that much. And you haven't even factored in the travel piece of it. So we're going to make less, and now, you know, we're going to have to travel. So then you end up really, you can't. You just can't. I don't think anybody knew at the time that Memphis was making the most money of any. Like, I would have thought Mountain West made more money than they did. I was kind of surprised and taken aback by that, you know, how little they get. Boise State, you know, I mean, Tulane getting more than Boise State is kind of nuts to me, you know?
Yeah.
And they made the playoff. They had a playoff last year. So that was an eye-opener. There's no doubt about that. And so, yeah, I mean, if you're getting $11 million, I think was the number there.
$11 million.
That's not counting ticket sales, right?
I don't think so.
That's not counting, you know, donations and things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could see a world where they have $13 to $14 million of revenue, you know, to you know, can you get, are you making $2 million on ticket sales? I would hope so. Between
yeah, I don't
everything.
Know how high that number can get. It was impressive.
Yes, it was. Number one in the group of five. Mm-hmm. Number one in the 901.
Yeah.
So it is, I mean, it is nice to see that supported, right, mm-hmm. by all this talk about Memphis is the, you know, bell of the ball in the group of five, you know, because we've seen Thamel write that. We've seen Dellinger write that. And then you actually see it borne out of the numbers, right?
Yes.
So that is very good to see. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully that can continue, you know, in the next fiscal year. And Memphis, because we've worried about this.
Win some conference titles in football. Let's see that. Now, I bet you that number goes up.
No question. And it should also, again, urgency. Urgency. You're the top of the group of five, man. Like, you have the room and the wherewithal to be urgent when it comes to decisions.
Thank you. Should not be finishing third and fourth in the AAC in football.
That's right.
You're number, period.
You're number one in finance, but you're number three or four in your league.
Can't get it done? Move.
I just think that's a bad look.
Get somebody in there who can, and
I, you know,
I'm hoping it happens.
And here's the thing with Memphis football, and I give Memphis football a ton of credit, man. Like, I know we don't talk about their recruitment, their recruiting as much because there's so many players, but like, you look up, and it feels like once a week, twice a week, they're getting a dude that was going to Duke, they're getting a dude that was going to Georgia Tech, they're getting a dude that had all these Power Five offers or was committed to a Power Five or came from a Power Five. Like, they get players. It's amazing. It's a testament to, and we don't even think about it anymore. They used to be like, oh my God, they got an SEC transfer. They got this. It happens all the time.
Dude, Blake, Mario, you're getting dudes
right.
in here,
right.
and you're not winning conference titles.
That's
like
right.
you're saying, you're getting players in here.
I mean, there was
so
a time
you have to win.
When Memphis
Somebody.
Was trying to beat out Jacksonville okay. State for a player, and they couldn't. You know, and now it's consistently happening against Power Five teams. And nobody bats an eye because the reputation for Memphis football is very good. it's a very good reputation. Like, even though they haven't, it's just amazing. Even though they haven't won a conference title under Silverfield, it's almost like people don't know that, you know? Or maybe it's like, I'm talking on a national level, right? Not here. We know that here. But I mean like, sort of, people know when Penny Hardaway hasn't won a tournament game. And, you know, they know that. They like, it's like, oh, man, they haven't made second weekend since 2009. You know, people know that about Memphis basketball. With Memphis football, you know, it's like, oh, who cares? You know, they just see they won 10 games. They won 11 games. Like, that, it's a well-oiled machine down there. That's all. That's what the perception nationally is, and they keep getting players. And so maybe that's why they're less urgent, because there's not that criticism yet for football. But, listen, when you're number one in the 901 and you're spending the money that you're spending, dude, there have to be results.
Where'd Fritz go?
He's at Houston.
Yeah. If it was the well-oiled machine that was including conference titles, the football coach had been pulled up already, like the couple of before him.
That's exactly right.
Norvell and Fuente. They get pulled up. That's what happens when you got something that's humming the way it's supposed to hum.
That's right.
And you got all the ingredients. Your motor is ready to roll.
Yes.
I mean, it's fine-tuned in terms of the everything you've poured into this engine. 100%. And you just need this man to drive it straight into a conference title, man. And what happens is what happens in college football. Those guys win that. They get called up like Fritz and everybody. Summerall will be next, you know, out of Tulane. The guy that replaced Fritz. That's what should be happening here.
Yes. Yes.
And it's time to get started. I mean, I'm excited about the upcoming football season. I really am. I was excited last year because it felt like, okay, there's a chance for breakthrough here.
Yeah.
Seth Hennigan's back. We can be better than Boise. They've got Oregon. You've got Florida. We've got Florida State. There's the sort of equal game there in terms of out of conference that can get you in that group of five, hunt for the playoff spot. And that was exciting.
Yep.
And while you're not quite there because you're not even going to be picked first in your conference, it's go time for this program right now.
Yep.
In terms of taking control of this thing, like you've done in basketball. You've taken control of the conference, have you not?
Yes.
You know, you picked first, you finished first.
Yes. I mean, listen, like...
Or they picked second last year. Basketball was picked second behind UAB, right? Still won it.
Oh, you're right, you're right. Yeah, second. Second. Yeah. But
it's control of it, and they did 16-2, and that's what needs to be happening with football,
that's
period.
Right. And, like, I mean, honestly, like, for, you know, every coach, even going back to Fred Pancoast, okay?
Fred!
If you had an above 500 record at Memphis, you got hired somewhere else. Fred Pancoast got hired at Vandy. Justin Fuente got hired at Virginia Tech. Mike Norvell got hired at Florida State. And Ryan Silverfield is sitting here with 42-21 record, and we haven't heard him so much as a serious candidate for anybody.
Somebody tried to talk up Indiana back.
Yeah,
it didn't seem real.
Yeah.
No, but that what you want is Ryan Silverfield up out of here one way or the other, whether that's through success, because, again, it would represent a guy that's having a great deal of it, just like Fuente, just like Norvell, and you, best thing outside the power structure, represent an absolute opportunity in the industry for coaches that say, man, look at the resources. Look what you've got. I can be there 2-3 years and flip that into a power job. That's what you want.
Yep.
And so you want back to it. So let's all root for Ryan Silverfield, start pulling this off so he can get pulled up and you can keep this going. Otherwise, let's root for Ryan Silverfield to move on, because there's somebody else out there, I'm telling you, that can get this done. We've discussed it sort of on the basketball side. Oh, well, if you move on from Penny, now you're not doing this anymore because he got off that hot seat. Everybody said he was on going in last season. But we said, who are you going to replace him with? And that's a fair question, especially on that side, because Penny's Memphis. Penny's not going off to another job. But on this football side, there is not a conversation of who are we going to get to replace Ryan Silverfield that can win 11 or 12 games, guys. No, it's going to be who you can get to replace Ryan Silverfield, win conference titles, and put you again in this college football playoff hunt. And there will be people who want it, who say, yes, there's enough. Look at all the players Ryan was able to get. Look at everything they've got going for them. There's no reason they can't be, again, compared to Boise State every single year, compared to Tulane.
Yep.
And everybody else that's at the top of the group of five or six. I saw Ed Scott called it six, I think. Whatever we're calling it.
Yep.
You can be right there at the top, and you should be. So one way or the other, you want Ryan Silverfield up out of here. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Success, that's what you're – sure, that works too. Or failure, but move on.
Yep.
You know, keep the thing moving. That's
no
the way. That's
it.
The way to do this thing.
There is no doubt, and
it's been at its best.
I don't know, you know what you know, I don't know what their appetite is or would be for that, but I would hope it'd be urgent.
I'll take 10 wins and the conference title. It's going to put me in contention for.
Yeah, that's what it should be.
Just give me the conference title.
That's what it should be. And the fact that, you know.
11 wins. Like, that's what should come like, with it.
I know we sort of get on this tangent about Memphis football every time, but it's like, it's the truth. It's like, you didn't get it done with Seth Hennigan, right? You didn't get it done with Seth Hennigan. But you don't get to reset, oh, I got a new quarterback now, so I'm not held to that standard. It's like, no, you still have to do it. Because, you know, even though you didn't do it with Seth Hennigan, it doesn't give you license, oh, it's rebuild year. I get to just start over and get 4 more years. No, that's that cannot be the way it works. You have to get meaningful victories at Memphis. It's important to get meaningful wins. I mean, you can maybe pull the wool over some people's eyes and point to that 10-win season, 11-win season, and say, look how good that was. You beat nobody. I mean, you beat Florida State on the road, okay. Florida State had one of the worst quarterbacks in their history starting for them last year. And, I mean, it just is the truth.
I think it's the UTSA loss that encapsulates it. I'm not putting it all on one game, but it's when others that have less are beating you, right? You can't afford that anymore.
Right.
Maybe back in the day you could afford to give a few of those up. Look, Navy came back with a quarterback. It was early in the season, right? They had something for you with the plan. But you know, every now and then, okay, so somebody can get you. But the UTSA one, on the week where the dude says we got less and you play whatever it was, we got money or whatever it was when they come in here, did you, you know, what Jonah Dillon had in the story, what they Memphis was playing on the video board, got money, you know it, and then go out there and lose. No, not anymore. That cannot be the standard anymore. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, totally.
That has to be off the board. Maybe back in the day we accepted that. But you can't rub it in them folks' face and then lose. It's that game, really, that encapsulates. You're wasting what you have.
No doubt.
That's where the urgency should be. That encapsulates it for me.
Yeah.
Why this should be urgent. If he can't get it done, you move right on. If he's getting it done, he's likely going to get called up. Either way, that's the machine that you want.
That's right. Because when you give an employee all the resources and then some, right, there's a certain expectation of performance.
Bro, employee running around the office saying, got money, you know it. I mean, that's what they essentially did on the week of the UTSA.
And then they tricked
it off. And lost the game.
With the record-setting quarterback at Memphis, right?
Was that the game that, like, they were just hitting those one-off touchdowns on the – didn't the quarterback – wasn't it a bunch of long TDs that UTSA
I think they scored those touchdowns in a variety of ways. I mean, they have 44 points. I mean, it was a bonanza down there at the Alamo Dome.
We shouldn't. Yeah, that is it. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
that cannot be the standard.
Because here's the thing: Penny did the job. He got it done. He got the conference championship. He spent the most money. He got the title.
He beat all the little boys back and won the conference title.
And he had to do that, by the way, over 18 games. I mean,
tougher to do.
You could argue that. You could argue that it's tougher to do.
Because ish can happen when you got that many more games.
Absolutely. I mean, Tyrese Hunter got hurt at the end of the season. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, you play that many games plus the conference tournament.
So they were still in the running after that. That's what I'm saying. After the loss to Navy, they're still in
the
running.
Right. Oh, yeah.
UTSA
they're not mathematically eliminated by any means.
Exactly.
And maybe they would have been in because they beat Tulane, obviously. You know, that was a nice win for Ryan Silverfield. Make no mistake about it.
And the player, that's been one of his strengths, getting players to finish out the season strong. Right?
That's right.
One of his strengths.
Right. That's right.
I'll check boxes where Silverfield's strong. This is not hate. This is get it done time.
No, Ryan Silverfield,
we're past it.
Ryan Silverfield is a great recruiter. He's a great recruiter. He's great at keeping the team, like you said, together when you're like, all right, are they going to fray? Are they going to break apart? Like, he's great at that.
100%.
But where he is consistently falling short is these big games that matter to the season, to the championship hopes, to the conference title, and just not meeting the atmosphere there.
It frustrates me in this sense that you fought so long to get this. Again, this is why Tommy had the speech when y'all are running him out of here, telling him it's not good enough. I mean, it's what you'd hope to build to, and now you have it. Now you have it. And let's not say, well, remember the old times and, well, we just couldn't. No, look at it differently.
Exactly.
It's a new perspective. It's a new game for you now. You're coming to the table with the best guys that you can have in the group of five, group of six. It's time to win and win at the highest level. Change your mindset. It's time to evolve. We fought for this. You fought for this, Tigers fans, the ones that kept going year after year in the 4 and 5 win seasons.
Yep.
This is the kind of investment in your program you always wanted. Though, you know, you have this ability now to have this success, and it's at a higher level than a hollow 10 to 11 wins.
Yep.
It comes with conference titles. It's not hard.
Exactly.
You should be getting this done.
So Memphis basketball going to have more money than maybe thought, but Memphis football will have even more. So
they kind of turned and hijacked that into a Memphis football conversation.
Well, I mean, honestly, they're revenue sports, and they're inextricably linked. I mean, they have been for quite some time. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. But Memphis basketball has got some money, and we'll see where it goes from here.
All right, let's talk about this, because I want to know what you think about it from the Portland side in particular. But obviously, Celtics trading Drew Holiday to Portland for Anthony Simons. 2 second-round picks. We got that from ESPN on Monday night in Shams. Portland is going to be bringing Holiday back. They originally got him from the Bucks in the Dame Lillard trade in 2023. Simons is going to Boston on an expiring. Holiday's owed around $72 million in 26-27 and 27-28. The deal saves Boston $40 million in luxury tax payments next season. We knew they got to come down, and they're probably not done, whether it's Porzingis, whether it's Derek White. I don't think they're moving off Jaylen Brown, but we'll see. But those guys are still included in guys that the Celtics could move off. And move off why? Because they can't have a $500, $600 million payroll in a season they don't expect to win a title, and mostly that's because of Jason Tatum's right Achilles tear. So back to Holiday, who's getting up there in terms of age now, 35 years old, getting a little long in the tooth, did shoot the ball well, 42.9% from three. What was that? That's as recently as 2023-24. John said it. I think those numbers are starting to come down. I mean, you're talking about a guy, like we said, that's getting up there in age, and this ain't KD, this ain't LeBron. However, clearly, Portland still feels like he brings enough in terms of credibility, in terms of defensively, that they think this is so worth it, they sent two picks. So it's not just, Boston. I was telling John this before we came on. This is a Boston get-off-money move, and typically for these, you got to pay money, right? You got to pay picks or something else. Boston does this stuff so well, they get picks back in this get-off-money move, and they get a guy in Anthony Simons who does what they do, which is shoot threes. What, he averaged about 8 or 9 attempts per game last year?
Yep.
He's on an expiring, and so they can decide, does this guy fit with us? And maybe they say, he's got a chance to be with a winner in the future. Maybe he wants to re-sign for us at a price we like going down the road. They can decide that. They can let him go after this upcoming season. But they get a younger player,
yep,
frankly, that could help Jaylen Brown. If they decide to go, hey, Jaylen Brown, go for the MVP season and let's see where it leads us. Maybe it leads us to a decent enough seed. We get Tatum back and see where it goes. And Simons can be a guy who's knocking down shots,
yep,
for Jaylen Brown. So I love it for Boston. They end up getting picks. And then for Portland, I'm curious what you think, because we've talked about some of their young players kind of individually at times.
Yep.
What do you think now of a Portland team that's bringing in Drew Holiday to do this, from what I hear? Windhorse thinks they're just going to be happy with making what they're trying to do, make the playoffs.
Yep.
And this is not a move to say, okay, we're on our way to a championship. This is a move to try to put Drew Holiday's credibility, his experience around a bunch of young guys, have it rub off on them, and give Chauncey some tools to be a good defensive team, and sort of base it in that and try to finish 10th in the West. That's what, and I don't think Wendy's wrong there. I don't think Wendy puts that out either. Portland's trying to finish 10th or, 9th, 10th, just make the playoffs. If he hasn't talked in some way or touched base somewhere with Portland's front office, if that wasn't the goal, Wendy wouldn't be out here saying, yep, Portland's just fine making the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. Whether kind of like the Sacramento plan or whatever else,
yep,
that after being down this long, they just want to get legitimately in the playoffs.
No,
they think this does it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is, we always talk about the NBA in such a binary way. It's like title tank. That's
precisely
where. So I think there, like, if you or I were running an NBA franchise, would it be so simple? Would it be so simple as to say, all right, we're going to either do one or the other, and if we don't feel like we're doing one or the other, we're going to completely be terrible forever until we become a title team. So I think there is probably some value in saying, we're just going to try to win as many games as we possibly can. We're going to make moves in the spirit of winning as many games as we can. even though we know our roster has limitations in terms of title. We can't win the title probably, but can we put a team out there that wins 43 games a year, that keeps fans engaged on some level, that gives people, you know what I'm saying? Like there is a business component to it, because what we know about tanking is that it doesn't sell tickets.
Right.
It can be beautiful in 4, 5, 6 years if it goes very well. There's no guarantee tanking does. There's no guarantee that you get the players. I mean, how many times have we talked about the process, you know, and what they get out of it? I mean, they never went to the finals. They never went to, and now they're a damn mess again.
It may still be processing. Maybe the process is done. I'm not sure anymore.
It worked out for OKC. It worked, you know, but they have a genius running the front office. Not everybody in the NBA has a genius running the front office. So, you know, it is confusing a little bit, because, again, the way we view the NBA is like you either have to be trying to win a championship or you have to be trying to get the number one draft pick. But I understand it from a sense of you have to run a day-to-day organization, you have to run a day-to-day business, and you need players that can be good enough to help you win games sometimes. Like, you know, you have to sell season tickets, man. You don't get to just say, all right, well, we'll just acquire picks. We'll see you in 3 years. You know, you got to get people excited again. You got to, you know, like, Memphis could not survive a tank, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just couldn't. Like, we could not do as a city.
That's,
you know,
I think you're right.
So it's like, you know, you would.
We kind of were that when they first got here.
Right.
I don't think we can go back.
Right. So, you know, we just can't. I mean, that's why we talked about it with Ja and Jaren. You know, especially this time, it's very perilous with the lease and everything. But, I mean, we've talked about the attendance issues. It's already kind of rough with a team that was 36-15 in January. So Memphis could not politically survive a tank. And I think, you know, there are probably owners around the organization, you know, that feel the same way. Real quick on Boston, I think two things. One is, like, are these teams just honored to be talking to them? Like, what are we doing here? They're giving away an expiring contract and picks to Boston? Dude,
do you have to get Anthony out to clear the way, and maybe we don't believe in him, but for Scoot to sort of
give, I mean, you might, but I'm just saying, like, if you're Boston.
I love it for Boston.
I mean, there's literally no downside, because worst case scenario is it's a lost year with Tatum, right? You're probably not. I think their approach to this is we don't really expect a lot out of Tatum this year. If he comes back, great.
But hey, we can't put any expectations.
Yeah, so we may just be punting, you know, on some level of the, in terms of championship aspirations. So why don't we get this expiring in a guy that's making $25 million a year or whatever it is. And after the year, we'll probably cut him loose or trade him at the deadline or whatever the case may be. And now I have this roster slot open. I'm not paying Drew Holiday $30 million to average 8 points a game at 35 years old. Like, I don't understand. Like, these GMs just get nervous when they get on the phone with the Celtics.
The NBA just loves doing business and keeping Boston in business as well.
I mean, it's crazy.
And they fleeced us. Lord knows for smart.
Yes.
The Grizzlies are victims. You know,
we know that deal.
Who's running the front office up there?
Brad Stevens, isn't it?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Brad Stevens, man.
Up there smoking cigars on us like old Red.
We get on the, you know, I don't
know
what it is.
Don't answer the phone when he calls.
I guess Zach Kleiman just held him in such reverence for that Butler run, you know. He got the title, obviously, with Duke, and maybe as a Duke guy, he's like, I just respect so much what you do. How about three firsts for Marcus Smart? Would you like that?
That's some of that Nico for Pelinka reverence.
Yes.
That Nico has for Rob.
Yes.
Bro.
As Kobe's former agent.
But no, he's not the only one, though, because Portland just bent over. All right? So it ain't just Zach Kleiman. I mean, again, I think it makes sense for both. I think it makes way more sense for Boston, though. Because, like, honestly, Anthony Simons is a fun player. Like, he has flaws. Well,
I don't think he plays defense, though.
Definitely does not play
and
defense.
That's Chauncey's on the, you know, he just re-upped with them.
Yep.
Like, he's trying to get serious.
No, they're giving up on Simons. But, you know, I definitely feel like he will have some.
He helped Boston. You didn't need to
do that. Like,
that's where I'm with you.
Like, I think Boston kind of looks at it like this. You know, we're still young enough with Tatum. You know, in 25, 20, 26, 27, we'll have that spot now of, you know, basically close to a max salary spot. And, you know, we'll go spend it on a great player. I mean, that's what they're going to do, man.
Do you not buy – are you like just that you don't buy my Jaylen Brown can be an MVP candidate next year?
I mean, He's, you know, he's.
Or is he too old for that now?
I don't know. I mean,
are we too banged up? Is that why we're not?
He can't. That's my horse. Like, I think that's kind of the problem.
Bro, he led us to the title. What are
we
talking
about? No, he was great with Tatum. Like, I don't know how that's going to
look. Never forget that we won Finals MVP. You telling me a Finals MVP of his caliber? This is not Iguodala.
No, he's definitely no. He's somewhere in between, man. He's somewhere between Iguodala and LeBron. You know, I don't love his game.
Somewhere between Iguodala and LeBron.
I don't love his game.
Well, that's a wide gap.
It is a very wide gap,
man. I mean, we're in the middle of the sea in that gap.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't know where to put him.
You guys are lower on. I need to look at Jalen Brown's numbers. Did I miss? He did fall off. I know he can't dribble.
He got hurt. He won
a title, though. The man stepped up. Jason Tatum got on his back 2 years ago.
Yeah, he didn't.
We averaged 22, 6, and 4 and a half last year.
I mean, that's.
Those numbers will go way up with
Tatum.
That's
like Desmond Bain, bro.
Bro. How many more shots and rebounds and assists we getting with Tatum off the floor? That's what I'm saying.
No, I mean, it's going to go up. I don't know.
And
like
if I'm Boston, if I'm Brad Stevens, I'm like, go earn your money.
Right.
It's like, go get it. This team's all real.
Oh, yeah.
You.
I mean, he should be equipped.
Take us as far as you can.
Top 4 seeds still in the East for sure.
I think so.
I mean, they still have, you know, shooters, Derek White, you know, they got good players up there. It's just, you know, we haven't seen him without Tatum for long stretches.
Y'all think I'm too high on Jalen. Maybe I am. Maybe I've gone. You know, he's been an all-star 4 of the last 5 years.
I mean, this would be a great bet for you. Like, let's see what.
He's only going to be 29 years old, right? 29 years old. I'm still young. I've been in the league a long time. I have. I've longer than I thought. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 years.
Let's see what his odds are to be MVP next year. I'll be genuinely curious. I don't know the answer.
We should do it today before they go.
So he's 75. He's plus 7,500, which is top 12-ish. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Bro, we are going to.
It's like 12.
We are going to finish top 3 seed in the sorry East, Jalen Brown leading the way.
Yes.
Brad's not buying it. He started rubbing his forehead.
I'll buy that.
Top 3 seed in a sorry East.
I buy it. I did the whole thing.
Indiana's broken.
Yep.
Milwaukee broken.
Yep.
Knicks and Cavs are not. They should run it back, right? There's your other two of the three. And then Philly, which we have no trust in.
A Harlem crackhead's going to be coaching them. So at this point,
I don't understand that. It should be a more valuable job now. They should have people, you know, knocking down the doors to get that gig with everybody that's hurt in the East.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Wendy said this morning. That job's become more valuable. Seemingly, what are you doing interviewing Minnesota's second or third assistant?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Interestingly, Ja Morant has the same MVP odds as LeBron James on Caesars, plus 12,500. So that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, LeBron's not that guy anymore.
Wait a minute. And so plus 12,000 what?
500.
And then what were Jalen Brown's? Plus 7,500?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to win some money? You want to score? Put you $2 on Brown to win MVP. $2.
I mean, you should do it. You ain't got no FanDuel bucks over there?
Nope.
I mean, you ain't had no dust for a while.
They've been dusty in there.
In that account.
Looked like the bottom of the green egg.
If somebody logs into that account, they're going to think it's a hack job.
They are.
Like, what happened? Somebody tried to log into my wife's FanDuel account the other day. Yeah, why on earth are y'all trying to log into her account? She ain't got nothing in there. We signed her up for like a Super Bowl promotion 2 years ago. You know?
Ain't nothing but tumbleweed in my account now. They said he won. He got out with his couple $100.
I think I might. I'm going to put a bet down for you, bro.
I don't know why you don't do more of this.
I'm going to do it for you.
Again.
And if they win, you're getting the money. If it wins, you're getting the money.
$2, $7,500. What's it get me?
All right. I have 25 cents in my account. I'm putting the quarter on it. All right. Here you go.
A quarter? I thought we agreed $2.
Oh, I don't have $2 in here.
Okay, you know what? Your generosity, I'll take anything at this point.
All right, aren't you the tank of gas guy?
Yeah.
So 25 cents pays $18.75.
That's not even a tank of gas.
That's a half a tank of gas, bro.
Not in a Jeep Cherokee.
That's a good
$19. You really cut me down, Trump. We said $2 and you made it a quarter.
Tariff. There's a good.
I mean, we came to the table talking, and when the deal went in, it was 25 cents.
That's all I had in my account, bro.
No, I appreciate it. We're gonna take if it comes through. Now, when will it be named? 2 years. You remember how long it took for
April,
the MVP?
April.
It took so long for the MVP announcement this year.
Here, I'm gonna send it to you. So
it's gonna be named next June.
I want you to tweet it out, man. I want you to tweet out your bet on Jaylen Brown, bro. You gotta tweet it out.
Well, you made the bet for me, but it's your bet.
I just need, no. It's your proceeds. Proceeds go to the Jason Smith Fund. If it hits,
no, it'll go to the
Well, you can do whatever.
It'll go to an offering.
There you go. But there, I want you to tweet out your sweat, your season long sweat, man.
Jaylen Brown for MVP.
That's a good bet,
dude. I'm out ahead of this. This will be discussed next year.
Oh, well, now
as
we got
a sneaky. I'm telling you, I'm gonna stick my chest out like Brad and his Cardinals. Beating the Cubs yesterday.
Yeah,
I feel good about this one.
Hey, I like it. It's a long shot bet.
I appreciate the 25 cents.
It's a long shot bet, and you know they do happen.
We got this.
They do. And
give me some shooters. We got Simons.
You got Simons, and he is definitely that.
I think we're keeping Derek White.
For sure.
But maybe we're not since we brought in Simons. I'm not sure.
No.
Because Derek represents some more money we can get off.
Hasn't Derek White been a bench guy? Like, hasn't he come off the bench for them? I know he starts now.
He's done six man before for them. Yes.
I think they're going to keep Derek White. I mean,
well, then Porzingis got a roll. So they said one of them, some more money's got to come off.
I would not trade Derek White. I feel like he does too much, like, just non-sexy
defense
stuff.
Too. Yeah. Still plays defense, dude.
No doubt.
We've said he's one of the better two-way players in the league.
Porzingis is not my style.
He don't play.
He doesn't play. He's kind of soft. Like, he's just not my style.
But they said they'll need a starting center because I don't. Like Jess said, I think Horford might be done.
Didn't they win the title without dude anyway? Basically,
pretty much. He had some unknown disease or whatever it is. Yeah. Maybe we know what it is now. I'm not sure. Remember the condition?
Yeah, he was like
something.
We couldn't identify it. But yeah, I feel like he maybe came back in that Mavs series, like in Game 6 or something, and didn't really do much anyway, like a game 5 or so, game 4, like whatever. They won a title because of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. So as far as I'm concerned, everybody else on some level, if you want to blow me away on Derek White, I'll trade him. But short of being blown away, I'd rather just keep him and, you know, make him a part of my core there with Tatum, Brown, and him. And we'll see, like this Anthony Simons slot. I mean, it's an expiring, dude. That's a valuable freaking piece. It really, truly is. Yeah. So – another busy day in the NBA with Drew Holiday. I feel bad for Drew, man, because I have such a soft spot for him. I love him.
Oh, what's he won? Has he won two titles?
Two.
He's won two titles.
Yep.
You don't feel sorry for Drew.
That's right.
He's got this contract. You really can't feel sorry for him. Boy, did he make – his agent should be – my gosh, they should be happy.
I think
this deal right here that paid him this much going into this year, 35, 36, 37 years.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's going to be
fine.
That's
a crazy deal.
But I think I want to say that he is the only two-time NBA champion of the 2020s. It's Drew Holiday and now Alex Caruso.
Did Portland get better than Memphis?
Oh, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. That's the third. There's three two-time NBA champions of the 2020s. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Alex Caruso, and Drew Holiday. Those are the only three.
He's old. Are they better than Memphis now? Portland?
No.
Jesus. With Drew Holiday?
No. No way.
Nope.
No way.
They're a mess. Like, no, they'll be more competitive.
You gotta
prove
that first. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they just have a bunch of sort of youth.
I don't know. I mean, if
the Grizzlies have to be better than the Trailblazers.
If you said that you're expecting something else to happen. But if we said it stood pat right now, which you agreed, trading Bane puts you back first.
Yes.
Back to Brad's point, John, if you're saying Grizzlies right now today versus Portland, and you've agreed that the Grizzlies took a step back so far.
Yeah.
Now, what you're basing on, and I'm going to be with you, there must be more. There has to be more. You will be better. But right now, are you? Can you assure us of that? When you just drop down to what the play-in and all that with Desmond Bane?
Let's just see how it's priced. The Western Conference, are they? So the Grizz are plus 7,500 to win the Western Conference, and the Trailblazers are plus 20,000. So that's one way. I mean, I
will say that we were looking at the power rankings. They were ninth in the West.
Right.
If Portland's hoping to be 10th,
yeah.
Again, you have to make moves.
Right.
You have all this flexibility.
Exactly. I mean, look.
I'm with you. Portland, you're better than Portland, and we expect you to be.
Yeah. There'll be a team that you can lose to, though. Like, you know, one of those, like, plucky.
We were
little,
doing that last year.
Yeah. So that's what they'll be a nuisance in that regard. Less of a guaranteed win now, for sure. They weren't before, and now – you clinging and sharp, and they're young. They're getting older.
Well, we're going to have P.J. Washington, so I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, got to go get P.J. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason Fitz going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, 99.5 ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know what Leaders does? They're hoping to lead you to a great financial future. 70,000 plus members here in West Tennessee of Leaders Credit Union. You could be next. They're not-for-profit financial institutions fully owned by its members. Means they operate for your benefit. Means when they make money, it goes back into the credit union, back into you. What's it mean for you? Means better rates, means better technology. You'll love their app. They've got a new financial wellness tool inside that online banking and mobile app that you'll love. We use it to check Chris's balance on his future Leaders savings account that we've opened with Leaders. We're part of the family, and Chris is, it's a great way to, he can watch his money grow. And I tell you what, adults need money too, right? And they need their money to grow as well. And maybe you need money for that renovation in your bathroom or that kitchen upgrade. How about a HELOC, home equity line of credit? You've built equity in terms of paying off your home. Take advantage of it. You can access up to $200,000 for whatever it is. You get those rates as low as 5.99 APR. Check out Leaders and all their options. LeadersCU.com/ESPN. See all that they offer and get full details and disclosures. Leaders is federally insured by the NCUA and is your financial champion.
All right, back. Jason and John, Return FM, ESPN. We do have a little bit of interesting draft movement. Just in that Konkan Dipple, for example, has become a massive favorite to be drafted in the top five. He was plus 110 to go in the top five about a week ago, and now he's minus 1,000. So it seems like somebody there, I don't know if it's the Hornets maybe at five that people think, or is it four? I can't remember, four or five, whichever one of those. Absolutely love him. But, you know, the shooting is, that dude is a locked, I mean, a cannot miss shooter. So I understand. He's pretty big too. You know, he's got some size on him. We'll see how he defends, but
toughness.
Yep.
He will defend with toughness.
That's right. And, you know, again, the youth.
You better kill Konkan Dipple because he's going to come back fighting. We've discussed it.
That's right.
And tough.
Yeah, they're number four. They're trading it. They're drafting at number four.
Well, so. I mean, American whites are making a comeback.
Yeah.
And this is a strong draft. Top five. Two of them.
Konkan Dipple.
Reed last Cooper year, Flag, right? Reed. Even though he kind of went G League, we still got a future.
We're in the cryo chamber.
But high pick.
Very
and
high
now
pick.
We got two in the top five?
Yeah.
Could Nipple's grandfather or uncle or something play too?
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah, a professional athlete or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is not a fluke.
No.
You understand what I'm saying?
No doubt about it.
So this is comeback, and it's retaliation of Mark Spear's story. He tried to write y'all off about 10 years ago. We're back.
Yes.
White American NBA player.
White American player, and I mean, our best one in a long time, and going number one.
Well, Cooper, it's just like, it's your Larry Bird, possibly.
I mean, honestly, truly.
And then look at the run McConnell just had. You know, it's a resurgence,
bro.
Is what it is.
T.J. McConnell is the whitest player ever.
It's a resurgence.
It doesn't get any, he doesn't even shoot threes, all right? Wow. Like, he is like, I mean, you want to go to Midwest Indiana on a Tuesday night, and you want to see a basketball player, that's what it looks like.
He's the white Westbrook in that his relentlessness, the pressure that he's going to apply going to the back. He's also going to turn it over if he's
terrible
in starter minutes.
Yeah, no, there's no question.
So it's a lot like Westbrook just not dunking on you. Mm. It's below the rim, but you see the pressure is similar.
Yes.
They just keep coming at you, same speed.
Yes. Yes, no doubt about
it. That game seven was ugly, some of those turnovers, though.
He's supposed to be the only point guard.
Right.
All right?
It's not his job to be out there all the time.
That's true. He's a backup.
So you're going to get those.
Yeah.
Ugly.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I don't blame him for that.
Did he leave it all out there?
Absolutely.
He sure did.
Yep. We will not ever debate that.
That's fair.
We will not ever debate that. Real quick, OKC's doing their little parade. I don't know if it's a parade or a thing, but there was a story I wanted to throw at you. And I just would love to know how you would perceive this. So there is a player who is in the German league. We love the imports these days. No tariffs on these imports. Hmm. Noah Essing, I think that's how you say his name. And he's a projected 6'9". He plays for Ratio Farm Ulm. All All right, you guys got that? Ratio Farm Ulm was a 35.5-point underdog to the Portland Trail Blazers in last year's preseason, and I was on them. And I was on them because I was told that they had two guys in Ben Seraph and this guy, Noah Asing. Like, it's the Trail Blazers, bro. Nobody should be a 35.5-point underdog to those Trail Blazers last year. And so I didn't watch the game, but this is one of the guys that everybody kept talking about. And so he's now in Bundesliga. He's in this Ratio Farm Ulm Bundesliga, and they're in their NBA finals right now in the Bundesliga. And his team is up 2-1 against Bayern Munich. And the controversy is that with the draft tomorrow, he is leaving his team. He is leaving his German team, Ratio Farm Ulm, to go to New York or wherever this is, to be in the green room.
Why did you hit the Isolo there?
It just reminded me of it could have been anything. I like John said it with conviction though. It was firm.
It's Ratio Farm Ulm. I mean that I feel
firm.
Good about.
Firm.
I don't know about Asing. It might be Asing Gay.
This is how confident he's saying it, Jason.
I hear it.
It's amazing. Ratio Farm, like I know who that is. Like,
Ratio Farm Ulm is the team. Noah Asing is
the player.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, but of course he is.
That could be a name. Ratio Farm Ulm could be a name of somebody.
It all makes sense.
In 2025. But
he's pulling out in the middle of the series?
That's the controversy, is that they're up 2-1. His teammate, who's going to be like a first-round pick as well, and Ben Seraph, is staying. Asing is leaving.
To attend the draft?
Yeah.
Just to be there?
Yeah. He's traveling to New York for the draft.
I'm not drafting a guy who's giving up on his team.
Where he's expected to be, one of the top whatever selections.
So it seems like a lot.
He could be a top 10 pick. I mean, he could be, But would you leave your team to do this?
No. But I mean, I get it.
It's a best of five series.
Yeah. Who did we have at the NFL? It was Milroe, wasn't it? That said he just wanted to be a part of the experience, even though he wasn't going to be a first-round pick.
Right.
And it seems like for a lot of these foreigners too, especially the recent years, just coming over here and being a part of it, even if they've had to sit in the audience. And you're talking about a guy who's possibly going to be a lottery pick. So I get it feeling like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be in New York, be there for the draft, and have this moment up on the stage. But, bro, you're in the final. You're telling me this is their finals.
Yeah.
You owe it to your team.
Yep.
You owe it to...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.